Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and this is another week of our unfolding, turning towards life conversation. And Lizzie, it's really, really good to see you, and all of you who are with us. It's really good to know that we're here with you and you're here with us in all the ways that you are. Maybe we're coming into your ears whilst you're walking or vacuuming the house or out for a run, or maybe you're just sitting quietly taking us in, or you might be watching us on YouTube or on our turningtowards.life website. And whichever way and whenever you are joining us, I want to say to you and to me, and then to all of the circles of people, Lizzie, I want to say welcome. You're so welcome to be here, and we can really feel your presence. And this conversation, although it's a conversation, Lizzie, between you and I, between you and me, actually, it's also a conversation with many, many others. And we know that this, the sources that we bring and the conversation that unfolds, we know that it lives in the minds and hearts of many of you, but it also lives in your conversations with other people, that there are people in families who listen together and talk with one another. There are friends who listen together and then talk about what happens from them from listening. There are groups of people who gather together to learn and study the source texts and then listen to us and then talk with one another. So exciting to hear. And we are recording this in early September 2025. And there's another new group which has started because this week we had the joy of beginning our first season of what we're calling at the moment Turning Towards Life Live, which is a monthly group that meets on Zoom to do exactly this together. And it was, Lizzie, such a treat for me to begin to feel people's presence, to welcome people, other people into the right into the inside bounds of this conversation, and to talk and listen to one another. And what a joyful thing to begin, and to know that we'll begin, the doors will open on this again in early next year, 2026, when the next season begins. But for now, there's another group of travelers traveling alongside, and you're all so welcome to be here.
Thanks, Justin. As you were talking, I was just feeling this self that is turning towards life, and Turning Towards Life Live is kind of expanding our understanding and sense of the self that we're making by being here together. And I think the self is so established that I feel like when I sit down here and I step in and you step in, suddenly the Turning Towards Life self appears in order for me to be in it. And then when we've done Turning Towards Life Live this week, I feel like that's showing me that there's a self that anyone can step into if they would like to. And they are stepping in because of them, everybody listening around the world. So I'm suddenly really excited that there's a being that we've made by doing this, where people can come in and be in the being of this self that we've made. And I haven't really felt that before just now when you were talking. And I'm feeling the joy of it. And as you were talking about the Turning Towards Life Live thing, well, as you know, Justin, I was like so joyful doing that. It was such a joy to see everyone, and I felt so much love and appreciation and unreasonable happiness at being there and being in the conversation and knowing in real time what this is with other people than just you and I. So anyway, I'm feeling very filled in my heart with the wonder of this. I'm really grateful. And this week, Justin, we have a source, a poem by Anne Hillman, which was posted by somebody on our year-long professional coaching course that we're in the midst of, you and I at the moment, with many other people. And I just want to say thank you for those times when poems get brought our way by people who are in the same kind of inquiries as us. And this was brought by Ross. And I want to say thank you to Ross for posting it in our little channel that we have as a group. And I'm really, again, as always, in some way, don't know what I'm going to feel and think as we read. All I know is I can sense that this is a really important conversation to be having. So we're going to read as we normally do. And again, thank you to Ross for bringing this our way. So here we go. This is a poem by Anne Hillman. We look with uncertainty beyond the old choices for clear-cut answers to a softer, more permeable aliveness, which is every moment at the brink of death. We look with uncertainty beyond the old choices for clear-cut answers to a softer, more permeable aliveness, which is every moment at the brink of death, for something new is being born in us, if we but let it. We stand at a new doorway, awaiting that which comes, daring to be human creatures, vulnerable to the beauty of existence, learning to love.
Thank you, Lucy. So as always, I'm going to read it again. And as I read it, what I'm imagining that I'm doing is placing these words between us, like speaking it into the in-between, so that when we talk later, Lizzie, there's a poem and you and me and all of the various kind of in-betweens. And then there's also, I'm going to place it in between us and everyone who's listening to us. So maybe as I read, you can feel this landing between us and you, and then have this. So it's a third party in our conversation. It's by Anne Hillman. We look with uncertainty beyond the old choices for clear-cut answers to a softer, more permeable aliveness, which is every moment at the brink of death. For something new is being born in us if we but let it. We stand at a new doorway, awaiting that which comes. Daring to be human creatures, vulnerable to the beauty of existence, learning to love.
Thank you, Justin. So I feel like somehow this has a timestamp in it for me. In kind of memory of a time when I thought that certainty was possible, to a time now where I don't know what's what really at all. I feel very nuanced and unblack and white and unfixable, downable, and that anything else is fixable, downable. But I also know that even though I don't know, I'm pretty convinced now that there's nothing that can be pinned down. I also know my longing for that too. Let's just get safe and batten down the hatches and then everything will be all right. I know that impetus in me. And I think it's like a lifelong situation of letting go of that ever being true somehow. And at the same time, embracing this more permeable aliveness, which is softer and in every moment is at the brink of deathness that Anne is talking about here. And it's reminding me of something somebody said about, I was just in conversation at the school gates the other day and somebody said, it's really hard and I can feel the aliveness in it. And there was some kind of foundational kind of ground shifting, something that was happening in their life. And I remember thinking, my goodness, yeah, it is possible that we can, in the uncertainty of being human, of course we can thrive at the same time as things not being fixable, downable, as to some kind of certainty. Of course we can, because the nature of life is not certainty, basically. And it is possible to thrive, and it is possible to feel whole, and it is possible to feel fulfilled and well in our spirits. And yet it feels really hard sometimes to not have yeah, to not have some sense of, oh yes, this is predictable and that's going to happen. And this is, and maybe many things are in some way, but it feels like a very important piece of life for me to kind of get used to, like a reality check. Like I need to get used to the fact that everything's going to change. Everything's already changing. And the thought of me standing at this new doorway awaiting for that which comes seems to me like a big and beautiful invitation to actually just be straight with myself that I don't know what's coming. I really don't. And I can be a welcome to whatever it is. And that kind of faith that's standing at a doorway where I haven't planned the hell out of something and been, you know, I'm trying to fix things down when I can't really anyway, but standing at a doorway open to life where maybe things are coming my way that I couldn't even dream of or conceive of, but being open to that and being faithful to life itself is very different than trying to control something that is not of the order to be controlled, which seems futile and has resulted in futility many, 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 many times in my life. So I'm really grateful for this articulation and to be in conversation about what it means to be in this inherent human uncertainty and to be well as well.
I'm really appreciating that language, Lizzie, of I think you said it another way, just a little bit about that there are many different ways that we can find ourselves being able to be in the midst of the vast mystery and uncertainty of our lives. And one way might be to think about what it is to be well in the midst of it, or respond well in the midst of it, or find our depth and our wholeness and our joy and our wonder and our courage and our integrity and our sincerity and in the midst of it. And those qualities, it's occurring to me, are the essential qualities of being a human, that sort of beneath our ordinary everyday way of knowing ourselves, there's genuinely a realm of virtues, might be one way of talking about it, or essential qualities. That is true of us. And part of the question is what does it take to be able to be in contact with that essential realm so that it can be present, that we find our presence and attention, for example, in the midst of things, or we find our capacity to stand, or our capacity for gratitude for having our feet on the ground and having breath, or find our truthfulness, or you know, any of those things. And maybe one of the mistakes that we make is when we get the ordering of things the wrong way around. So it seemed to me, as you were talking, that the bigger, vaster condition of our lives is a radical kind of uncertainty. Like, we just don't know. I was saying to you just before we began that there's someone in my life who had a turn in her life just a couple of days ago and is now in hospital, and it was unexpected, and now we don't know what's going to happen. And that is what life always is. Like, and we're changing moment by moment, as you said. So that's the bigger condition. And then inside it, there are things that really benefit for kind of a sense of planning and certainty. So I'm really glad there are doctors and nurses and physios and all those people who, when we speak to them in the hospital, they say, well, it's our experience that if we do this, 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 and this, then it's likely to produce a better outcome in this way. Like, that's a kind of certainty I'm glad for. But it exists in, it's subservient to, or it's a smaller part of something, the unfolding whole of everything that is unknowable. And I don't think it helps to kind of split the two and go, well, there's no certainty. I will give up all certainty in my life, because some things, the people we care for, even if we won't extend it to ourselves, really benefit from our thinking that way. But to cling onto it very tightly keeps us away from, I think it's a really useful, valuable, important invitation, this language that Anne Hillman uses of a softer, more permeable aliveness that we are, which is every moment at the brink of death. that the softening and dropping of our desperate, I came across this this language the other day in a book I was reading, our grim preoccupation, you know, the way that we kind of really try and hold on tight to life, that there is something more permeable and more alive always available to us, that Anne's words and your words invite, if we will just let it. And that quality really matters. It really matters for our being well in the midst of life. It really matters for our bringing ourselves in the midst of life.
Somehow some distinctions arising in me just now. I was just thinking of this, like, certainty next to uncertainty thing that you're bringing, of like, yes, it's really uncertain what's going to happen to this precious person in your life. And there are some certain things about the fact that the hospital will be open tomorrow, in all likelihood. You know, there's and there will be humans, and they will care and do things. And that's obviously a very big situation when someone's life is somehow deeply impacted by what's happened and the turn that her life has made and all that. And then there's the kind of the everydayness of, I was just thinking of like the simple things like making a packed lunch. And it's predictable that the packed lunch will be made because I've got intention to make it and I'm going to put some stuff in it and I kind of planned what's going to go in there. And then the bit that's unpredictable is whether the person I've made it for is going to like it, going to eat it, going to throw it in the bin before, or lose it on the way or whatever. So it's also like I'm just feeling this distinction between there are things that are close in that feel like they're certain. And then maybe when we get in lots of trouble is that we try and project that certainty onto what happens then, when it's totally out of our gift to determine what happens. So we can put dinner on the table, and it's not our job to have people eat it, but it is our job to put it on the table, kind of thing. And I'm just suddenly really taken by this distinction of what I can do and what I can't do. And being kind of honest with myself about that, what I can determine and what I really can't determine. And then for the things that I can't determine, letting uncertainty be true of that and being well with that, like being okay with the unpredictability of what's going to happen when it's not in my control, and how much of a waste of my life energy it is to think that I can control the things that I can't, and how my aliveness and this kind of vulnerability of human beings and is a lot to do with the nature of humans being these grand mysteries where I really can't say what's going to happen, and in a way how beautiful that I can make an offering and I can be an offering myself, and then the people around me will take that in whatever way that they take it, and it's not up to me that the way that they take it and the way that they either benefit or not, or use it as is intended, or whatever that is. But that I can know the difference between the things that I can have an influence over and the things that I can't. And though I don't want to, by saying that, suggest that I'm not this uncertainty myself, like as in the way that I respond to myself is often completely different to the way that I thought something would happen. And I think maybe this allowing everyone around me to be what they are without trying to determine who they are or what they do or whatever, it affords me the same conditions, I guess, where I get to react to things in a way that I couldn't foretell. So when someone calls me up and tells me something, I can be truthful with myself in the moment, which might not be, and my reaction might not be the way that I thought it was going to be or something. I can give myself permission to be different than I am with you now and different next time we meet each other. Like, I don't have to be the same all the time or something. And I experienced this yesterday. I met a new person. And when I meet new people and there's nobody else around, I often think, well, I could just be anyone. I could just be anyone. I could bring a new part of myself forth. and see what that's like. I could be unappeasing. I could be unpleasing. I could be really wild. I could be, and I think this is part of that realm as well, is like looking how I look upon myself as a set of predictable certain things of how I behave and who I am and all that kind of thing. And giving myself permission as I relate to life in this way of uncertainty to be different if I feel so called, and not feel myself as fixed or like, oh, that's just the way I am or something, but being open to be changed by life and by being and the mystery of me, who I don't barely know probably.
Oh, I'm so taken. There's a whole giant conversation to have, Lizzie, about how we know how to be and who we take ourselves to be, and the predictable ways that we understand ourselves, even while we don't fully understand ourselves, and how we choose to be with other people. I mean, it's wonderful, and I'm really taken by it. And I'm going to not turn away from it. I want to include it in something that was rising in me and listening to you. It's just to honor. I'm very taken by the practice of a sort of purposeful reinvention every time I meet someone new. This is, what would that be like? Amazing. The thing that's behind what I'm saying that I really appreciated it is that you're bringing something to this conversation that is not named in Anne Hillman's poem. So what you talked about was partnership. So there's one part of Anne Hillman's words which is about, at least the way it's written, is about softening and seeing, waiting at a new doorway and waiting to see what comes. And what you drew attention to was that so often that happens in the context of our participation in life. So we make the packed lunch for one of our children, or we put a meal on a table for people we love, or, and there's a million examples of those gestures that we make where we can bring as much care and intelligence and like, it's useful when you're cooking to have a sense of a certain amount of predictability so that you've got some sense that what you make might be edible and appetizing, and, you know, that kind of skillfulness that comes. So that certainty is useful, even though it doesn't always work out. But then we put the meal on the table, and from then on, we're in partnership with life, with the people, with life. Like, I make my offer, I make my gesture, and then existence, the universe is going to respond in some way, and may not respond the people. You may not respond the way, if I've got a sense of how I want you to respond in this conversation, you may well not respond that way. And that's another, it's another place we make our move, and then life responds, and then we move again. And it seemed to me it's a really alive, responsive, dignified, creative way to come at life, is to say, I'm not so big that I'm essentially God and can control the universe around me, which is one mistake we make. We cling on and we imagine that if I try hard enough, or I'm good enough, or I'm clever enough, or I'm brave enough, or if I panic enough, then the world will go my way. And that's the kind of certainty that of clear-cut answers that rarely is true, and we're never that powerful anyway. But then sometimes the response is to sort of just collapse into something else which is true, which is the universe is vast and way bigger than me, and I'm just one teeny weeny 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 part in it, and it's most of it's not personal. Stuff is just going to happen my way anyway, and there's nothing I can do about it. And that can be a kind of collapse into, well, I'll just wait to see what comes. And there's some gifts in both the trying to have things go a particular way and in the waiting to see what comes. But where it really comes alive is, I think, is in this narrative of partnership and participation, which is, I'll make my move. Mm. I'll bring what I can bring. I'll do what I can do. I won't hold back on the intelligence I've got, or the knowledge I've got, or the care I have. And I'll also know that is radically unknown. And I might make the dinner and everybody might turn up and something big might have happened in the world today and no one's going to want to eat and everyone's going to want to talk. Or a calamity happened or someone got sick or, you know, whatever it is. And then what it seemed to me that that opens up is this move that Anne Hillman talks about is standing at a new doorway, awaiting that which comes and learning to be vulnerable to the beauty of existence and learning to love is sort of like a, you could take it as an invitation to how to be in every moment that we gesture, here's what I have. We make an offering or a contribution. And then our job is to allow to stand at the brink of death. Who knows what's going to happen here? And allow the next moment to reach us and to be changed by it and to surprise ourselves in the way that you talked about. So even our own reactions can be surprising. Oh, I didn't know I was going to react like that. Now what? And then to stand again, ready to offer again. So there's a sort of, I think you've brought this dance of reciprocity and aliveness rather than clinging for dear life or just letting go as if nothing was up to us.
Yeah, and I just feel like we keep learning again and again, Justin, about the side-by-sideness of everything. Like the side-by-side of control, seeming control, and then like a profound lack of control, like simultaneously. And I love what you're saying about, you know, making our move and accepting that what comes is what comes, but that's not what we can control. You know, we can't have it turn out the way that we think it should all the time or any of the time even. But we can become people who learn how to respond in uncertainty. So just bringing it back to the essential qualities as well, there are times in life that are just really, really, really hard. And I was just thinking, there's been some, you know, like a relatively small challenge of this weekend. And when you said that about the qualities emerging of you know, who we are in these situations that are born of total, you know, you didn't foresee them. It's not what you want. It's difficult, you know, all of the things. If we look in this way where we're looking for qualities, essential positive human qualities that emerge in those times, they are always there. So whatever you're in at the moment, how difficult the logistics are and how hard it is to see people in pain and the kerfuffle of the, you know, sorting things out and tending things, whatever, I could feel all of the essential goodness in you, knowing you the way that I do. I could feel, oh my gosh, Justin's steadfastness is right in there. Justin's generous heart is in there. Justin's way of being kind of still in the midst of a lot of kerfufflage is in there. Like already I'm like tuning into who you must be being in terms of your qualities inside a really difficult situation. And if I wasn't looking that way, all I would see was the logistics and the kerfuffle and the pain and the awfulness and the, you know, the having to cancel things and having to just turn everything towards something and what the consequences of, you know, I could just be in the story. But then as I look at you and I feel you and I imagine and sense all of the qualities that are in there of you and the people around you in response to someone in difficulty, of course I wouldn't want the difficulty to be happening. But that's not, that's just a wish that it wasn't happening, but it is happening. And so either being in it or relating to it, there's a way of being that allows these essential human qualities to come forth and be part of how we feel alive and how we feel participant, as you're saying, like really participating, instead of just being cross about it or want it to go away, or we're actually going, oh no, okay, so this is here, and what is there to be recognized about human essential goodness inside of all of this? And orienting that way to difficult things seems to be not separate to me in this moment from how do we live in this uncertainty that is the majority of life, given we can kind of determine quite a small amount of things ourselves. If we're on the lookout for receiving our essential goodness and other people's essential goodness in the uncertainty of life and the unpredictableness of it all, that's really quite a beautiful thing to receive, is our who-ness in amongst the kerfuffle, basically.
And what's really striking me now, Lizzie, from what you said, is that it's the great gift and possibility of being a human. Not that we control the universe, because we can't, but that we turn towards in every moment the gifts that being a human can be in the midst of the thing that we can't be in charge of. And sometimes it may be because we reach for it consciously. I'm going to reach for the integrity I know that I am. And sometimes it is also this sense that is hinted at by what you said about when we surprise ourselves. You know, sometimes we surprise ourselves in a way that's disappointing or arresting for us. And sometimes we surprise ourselves with our capacities. But it seems to me that we're not just random somethings. We have choices about how we shape our attention and what we'll attend to and what we can learn to attend to. And maybe the you know, none of us can be God, which I mean in the sense of the omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful, universe-shaping something that we could imagine. And we're also not the tiniest of the tiniest. And because we are the size in between these two, we're something in between. We get to both live in the real uncertainty, but also to bring forth this who-ness that you talk about, that is filled with quality, filled with, I can't really find the word, but we are the ones who get to bring that. What a privilege. What a responsibility and a privilege and opportunity.
Yeah. And I'm seeing now as well, Justin, that whether you were intending on bringing your courage and your goodness and your generosity to the situation that you're in, it would be there anyway. And sometimes it takes someone to tell you what they can see so that you can connect to that yourself. Because it's really quite traumatizing to be in difficult situations where you're out of control. And so to have reflective practice and to have someone say, actually, I saw you in that, and you brought this and you brought that and you brought that. You weren't just some kind of mad mess. You brought something that really mattered. And I'm thinking of the times of, being in crisis situations in my life where I've literally been kind of hanging on by a thread, and people in reflection have named what they saw in me that I had to bring forth. Like, I had to birth a new way of being in that moment in order to handle what was happening and respond the way that was needed. And in my own view, I was like, well, I was just mad mess. I didn't know what I was doing. But then in reflection, I could also see that there was a lot of courage and there was a lot of steadfastness and a lot of warmth in me and nurturing and all these things, which I was at the time, that was not what I was experiencing myself as. And I'm just struck by the combination of kind of reflective practice and relationship that can kind of re-narrate a lot of the things that happen to us when we have that kind of relationship. And I think that's part of the self of turning towards life, actually, as I'm talking about that too, is that we are a space for reflection and relationship, which enables us in a very different way than our culture would have us be enabled to be in life, in ways that goodness is revealed and that we are reflective beings with one another, supporting one another and having conversations that the wider culture wouldn't necessarily afford us to have unless we come to spaces where we can be safe and ordinary and straightforward and reflective and truthful with one another. So I'm really grateful for this excellent space, really. And I'm sure everyone, Jocelyn, is in support of you in the kerfuffleage that you're in at the moment, who's listening to us, and I'm certainly in support as well. And thank you to Anne Hillman. Thank you to Ross for bringing us this poem. And thank you to everyone who's listening at whatever time in history, and also in September 2025 when we're sending this out into the world. So thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
See you then.